We'll be in Mark chapter 14 tonight. And actually, we're going to finish Mark chapter 14 tonight. It has only taken 9 weeks, but we're going to be through a whole chapter. One was 72 verses, so give me some leeway here. But Mark chapter 14, we're going to finish up the chapter beginning in verse number 66. Mark chapter 14, verse 66, and reading down to the end of the chapter. Of all the stories in the Bible, this is probably one of the most familiar. One that probably Peter is not proud of. And probably not excited that the Lord saw fit to record it for all of posterity. And not only just record it, but as you know, many things in the Gospels are recorded only in one Gospel or some in two. This is one of those things that is in all four Gospels. So Peter gets embarrassed four times over by what happened here. Again, it's a very familiar story. But God did restore him to fellowship and used him mightily after this. And that is one of the great encouragements of this story. Because in this story, we see Peter with egg on his face, as we would say in our day. We see him completely failing in his love and devotion and service for the Lord. Not that he didn't love him, that he wasn't devoted, but he had a time of failure. And that's sad, and that's tragic, and yet it's encouraging, isn't it? Because we do often fall and get egg on our face and fail from time to time. And so it's nice to know that the Lord can restore us to fellowship if our heart is right. So beginning in Mark 14 and verse 66, there I preached the sermon. We might as well just give the invitation now and go down and join the kids downstairs. But we'll stay up here a little longer. Verse 66, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Art thou, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we do thank you for this story. Lord, though alarming and disappointing, Father, it is in turn encouraging. And God, I pray you'd help us to see Peter as he was in the moment back then. Father, see the events that transpired and took place. And God, not only give us the historical context of it, but Father, the practical application and the encouragement. And Lord, the conviction that we can get from it today. I pray you'd use your word to bless and feed our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at this story tonight, Peter's three denials. I know I'm preaching the choir, preaching the folks that know this story backward and forward, so there's not a whole lot I can tell you. Let me give you the synopsis at the very beginning. Here's what the story's about. It's a warning. It's a warning to you and I. Look at verse number 54 of this chapter. This was in our message a couple weeks ago, and we kind of paused on it because we're saving it for tonight. Verse 54 said this, "And Peter followed him." This is they were taking him out of the Garden of Gethsemane. "Peter followed him afar off, even to the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." Notice, "And Peter followed him afar off." One of the things that shows us the direction that Peter is going is that he followed afar off. Now, we can get a positive. At least he followed. That's more than could be said for 10 of the other, or 9 of the other disciples. But he followed afar off. If you don't want what happened to Peter to happen to you, don't follow afar off. Get as close to God as you can possibly get and stay there. Don't allow things to come between. We said this before, and I've heard it, and I've preached it. I don't believe that Peter did what he did because he was disappointed in God or didn't love God. I think he did it because he didn't understand God. He didn't understand why things were happening the way they were happening. He knew Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He knew He was the Son of David. He knew He came to be King of Israel. He was convinced of those things. There was no doubting that. And He was devoted to Him and He loved Him. But He didn't understand why this man with that power and that calling and that heritage didn't do something about these men coming to take Him as a prisoner in the Garden of Gethsemane. He'd seen His power when they said, when He said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am He," and they fell backward to the ground. Peter knew he could walk away from them, deliver them anytime he wanted to. And he didn't understand what God was doing. You know why I like that idea, Peter? Don't judge Peter for his love. Don't say his love wasn't good. Don't say his devotion wasn't good. It was his understanding that failed. And you and I often don't understand what God is doing. When you get in that position, take heart. Remember Peter. Be careful. Don't follow God afar off. You know what you do when God's doing something in your heart and your life that you don't understand and you don't necessarily agree with or like? Get closer to Him. Don't get farther from Him. Get closer to Him. One of the biggest problems I've experienced as a pastor of a church is when I go visit folks that are in church and they've gotten out of church and they haven't been here for a while, and I go visit them and I sit down with them and I say, "You know, we've missed you at church." "Well, preacher, I'm going through some things right now." Well, can I tell you, that's the best reason to be in church. Not a reason to not be in church. It's the best reason to be in church. When you're going through something, get closer to God, not farther from God. When people tell me that, and I know I've said this before, when people say, "Well, I'm just going through..." They must think that those of us that are in church are just riding on easy street. Never have any problems, no heartaches, no physical problems, emotional problems, financial problems, family problems. That's why we're in church, because we're not going through anything. But they're going through something, so they can't be at church. No, that's not the way it is. Don't follow afar off. The second thing we notice Peter doing, again, this is just a synopsis before we get even into our outline, is he warmed himself at the fire. He fellowshiped with the wrong people. He got there. You know who he was sitting there with when he warmed himself at the fire with the servants? Look at verse number 65. We looked at it last week. But notice who this is Peter's hanging around with. Verse 65 happened last week as far as our study. "Some began to spit on him," the Lord Jesus, "and cover his face," this was in the garden, "and to buffet him," the saying in prophesy. Notice, "and the servants." All right, after the Pharisees, the Sadducees, had their way with Christ, knocking him around, they humiliated him by delivering to their very servants. I mean, the most lowly, the servant. "And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands." And that's who Peter is sitting with at the fire, warming his hands. He's with the wrong group of people. You know what will cause you, when you get away from God, you know what will cause you to fall into the trap that Peter fell into? Getting around the wrong people, around the wrong crowd. This is the right crowd, folks. These are the right people. These are the ones to be around when you're going through something. How many times do we hear a testimony? "I was going through this or that," usually physical things or something like that, "and the church prayed for me and God answered and God delivered." Well, the world isn't going to do that for you. The church will do that. So stay around the right people. And then we're going to find out thirdly, and you know the story, so I'm not spilling the beans here. Peter fit his language to the crowd he was around. All right? Verse 5, he followed afar off. Then he fellowshiped with the wrong people. Good 3-point outline. And then he fit his conversation to the people that he was around. Don't do that. Your conversation ought to be different. Your language ought to be different from the rest of the world. So Peter had 3 steps away from the Lord. And you know when the Lord renewed him to fellowship in John chapter 21, he was 3 times, "Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" Lovest thou me? Three times. Three steps away, three steps back toward him. Now, he denied him three times too, so that kind of fits in. But that's basically the story we're looking at. Now let's look at the story with a little other information that might help us and bless us. Look at his first denial, first of all, verse 66 to 68. We know that Peter denied the Lord three times. Here's the first time. And Peter was beneath in the palace. And there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. Notice three things about this. First of all, the accuser. We've got it there on our outline, verse number 66. Who is the accuser? One of the maids, it says, of the high priest. Apparently she's one of the servants that was there in the garden, and she recognized Peter. That might be how she knew him, or it might be something more than that. Look at John chapter 18. Again, this is one of those stories that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. And here's an interesting twist in it that John mentions that Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't. Remember again, Jesus had been brought in before Pontius Pilate. And in John 18 and verse 15, John 18:15, And Simon Peter followed Jesus, we know afar off according to Mark, and so did another disciple. Oh, he wasn't the only one. That disciple, the other one, was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. All right? This other disciple went all the way in where Jesus was being interrogated. Peter stayed down in the courtyard, as it was, of the palace and watched from afar. And it says, And that disciple that went in was known to the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. So how do you describe? Can you spell the word sickum? That's what that disciple did. Now we believe that disciple was John. He's speaking in the third person there, which he does often in his gospel. But there's someone there that was in the palace that told one of the maids and said, maid that kept the door said, that's Peter, let him in. Somehow he gave a little word, a little encouragement for Peter to stand his ground and make his statement. And so this one maid, it starts with one person questioning Peter or telling him that he was seen in the garden, and Peter denied it. At the accusation of one person. And this is Peter. Bold, brazen Peter. Lord, though all deny thee, I will not deny thee. And one woman says, weren't you with him? And he got afraid. And he denied. Someone has said this, Peter denied at the swish of a skirt. One woman made an accusation, and boom, there he went. He denied the Lord. That has caused the downfall of many men, by the way. But the accuser, one person. Now, there's a reason I'm emphasizing this, because it's going to build from, the pressure is going to build. But it's going to start with one woman. Her job was to keep the door at the palace. And she said, I think I saw you with that man. Notice the accusation. It is in verse 67. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. That's all she said. Weren't you with him? I mean, what's the harm in saying yes? Well, the fear that what they were doing to Jesus, they might do to Simon Peter. And again, I'm not sure it was so much fear as it was confusion. He just didn't understand. I think he meant it when he said, Lord, I'd die for you. I think he meant that. I don't think he was just being brazen. But he didn't understand what was going on. And all it took to shake his faith here is one maid to come and say, Thou also wast with Jesus, in verse 68, but he denied. What would it take to get you to deny Jesus? What would it take to get you to deny your faith? Some people say, oh, I'll live for him. I'd die for him, and they don't live for him. Oh, I could face anything. They can't even get in church. What would it take? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out under the porch. He saw the exit sign. He's heading out of the courtyard of the palace. And the Bible says, and the cock crew. You know what Jesus had told him? It's recorded in verse number 72. And it's found, actually, look back in verse number 30. Jesus had forewarned Peter back in verse 30 and said, when Peter said in verse 29, though all should be offended, yet will I not, Jesus said unto him in verse 30, verily I say unto thee that this day, even this night, shall the cock crow twice. Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. So here she makes that accusation, and he heads for the door, and the cock crows. That word cock's an unusual word. It's short for cockerel. You ever heard that word? Cockerel. That's a kind of an old English word for... Generically, it's a rooster. And I enjoy looking at these things. All the modern translations of the Bible obviously change it to rooster. Our Bible is more precise. It wasn't just a rooster. It was a cockerel. It was a cock. What is that? That's a young rooster. All right? Just precision. Exactness. I like that about our Bible. One other thing about the exactness is in the New Bibles, they take out that last phrase, and the cock crew. And then they have down in verse number 72, twice where it crowed, it says it crowed twice, but they never record where it crowed the first time. Don't mess with the Bible. All right, just keep what you got. Don't let the salesmen make their money, but don't let them make it from you. So it says, and he went out to the porch and the cock crew. I don't know if Peter didn't hear it, but that had to be convicting. The Lord said, before you hear it twice, and he heard it already the first time, he's not going to hear one after each denial, only after the first one and after the third one. So the hearing it after the first one is very important. So it belongs in verse number 68. And the cock crew. Verse number 69 then, we look at the second denial. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them, and he denied it again. Very short this time. Verse 69 in the first phrase of verse number 70. But we see the first three things. I'm not trying to be repetitive or redundant on it, but it's basically what we're looking at here. It says in verse 69, and a maid saw him again. Now the question is, when you read that, is that the same maid? It says, a maid saw him again. Is that the same maid or a different maid? Well, look at Matthew chapter 26. Here again is the importance of comparing Scripture with Scripture. And this is the part I like. I might be crazy that way, but it's what I like. Look at Matthew chapter 26. The first woman in verse 69, that first maid we already looked at, Matthew calls her a damsel. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Then verse 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. So that answers our question from Mark's gospel. Was that the same maid or a different maid? Matthew says it was another maid. And so Peter denied in front of one maid. Now he's denying in front of a second maid. See, the problem is when you start cooling off spiritually, if you don't catch it quickly, it's going to spread fast. It's kind of like the flu bug that's been going around. If you don't deal with it right away, it's going to keep going. The best thing you can do, someone told me years and years ago, many, many years ago, you ever go for a new job, make sure on day number one, you make sure everybody in there knows you're a Christian. Not by necessarily turning the trash can over and standing on top of it and banging the pans together, but you just make sure everybody knows, because if you wait, if you delay it, the longer you delay it, the harder it's going to get to make it known. And it's better just to get it out right at the beginning and get that thing established and started. Same thing when you move into your neighborhood, whatever it is, when you get around. Let people know that you're a Christian. Let them know. Because once you begin to not speak up, it's a lot harder to speak of later. So here Peter denied before one maid. Now it's not just a maid, it's another maid. But it's not only that. Did you get that one? All right, according to Matthew, it's another maid. But then look at Luke. I like this. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 22. Again, this story is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 22. Notice verse 56, there's that first maid. The certain maid behind him sat by the fire and earnestly looked at him and said, this man was also with him. This is his first denial. And he denied him, Christ, saying, woman, I know him not. So he said to that first maid, he said, woman, I know him not. I don't know. But notice verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him. All right, this is the second denial. And said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, what's the next word? Man, I am not. Now, these are long before our days of confusion. And Peter wasn't confused as to whether that was a maid or a man. But he said to the first one, woman, I know I'm not. The second one, man, I'm not. He said, what does that mean? And the Bible critics and skeptics, they see there's a contradiction. It was a maid. The second one was a maid. Well, and Luke said it was a man. Well, which was it? Yes. Say, what do you mean yes? Yes, turn to John chapter 18. Nothing like the Bible to have the answer for a Bible question. John chapter 18. If you ever don't understand something in the Bible, you know what the best thing you can do is? Not ask Pastor Leafley. Now don't take that wrong. I don't mind if you ask me a Bible question. But it's so much more of a blessing when you get the answer yourself. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep reading. God will reveal it to you. And if you get stuck, Pastor Lewis and Pastor Leafley have no problem with helping you different. So don't take that as a harsh rule. But just keep reading, you'll find the answer. That's the problem with all the skeptics. They're not looking for answers, they're looking for problems. And when you look for problems, you're going to find them. God's going to give them to you. But look in John. Is it a maid or is it a man? John chapter 18, this very same scenario. Down in John chapter 18, verse number 25. Verse 25, 18, 25. All right. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said, therefore unto him, this is the first denial way back in Matthew, all right? That's what I'm confusing myself here. Verse number 17, thus then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, that's the first one, art thou not one of his man's disciples? He saith, I am not. All right, that was the first denial. Then John gives us some other details that happened. Then verse 25, the second denial. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. Notice the word they. It's not the woman said, it's not the man said, it's they said. So it's both of them. All right, John clears up the question between Matthew and Luke, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. They both. All right, so the first one was one person, a maid. The second one was a maid and a man. And they both question the second time. The pressure is getting harder. The temperature is getting... You know, Peter's no longer at the fire. He'd walked away from the fire after the first one. He's heading for the door. And now two people ask him about it. He's getting away from the fire, but I bet he's feeling the heat a lot more right now. Not physically, but spiritually, because now he's still getting questions as he's trying to get out the door. And now there's three people at least, the first maid, then the maid and the man in the second time, and they've all been asking him whether this is one. All right, back to Mark chapter 14 and verse 69, their accusation to him again. This is one of them. And he denied it again. Now the cock doesn't crow a second time yet, but Peter denies again. that long, slow road away from the Lord. You can stop it at any time. But once it gets going that direction, it's hard to get your footing again. Stop it as early as you can. Then, verse number 70, down to verse 72, the third denial. And it says in verse 70, "And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter." So he never made it out the door. He's still there in the courtyard. He started in the courtyard, and then he's in the porch of the palace. It says in verse number 68, "And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Then the maid saw him again." And then in verse 70, "And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter." Now he's in the midst of a group. If you can't speak up before one maid, and a maid and a man, it's going to be a lot harder in a group. It's going to be a lot more difficult when you're the lone wolf in a group of people. And we probably all experienced that. Been in a group of people and the conversation's not right and not good, and we just, our flesh is hanging around and our spirit's saying, run for the door. And I'm sure that's what's going on with Peter. But the Bible says, they said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them." They that stood by, "Surely thou art one of them." Well, what gave him away? There's something about him that even in this backslidden condition, where he has twice said, "I don't know him," there's something about him that doesn't fit in with the rest of the people. Oh, we live in a world where Christians want to fit in with the crowd, fit in with the world, fit in with the people. Why? God didn't call you to be like the world. He called you to be unlike the world. He didn't call us to sound like them and talk like them and act like them. He called us out to be different for His honor and for His glory. So it says here, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean." Now, again, let's remind ourselves of what's going on here. Jesus is in Jerusalem. That's in the south of Israel. Kind of the midway point, but the southern part of it. All of His disciples, except one, all of them are from Nazareth, from Galilee, the fishermen. They're from the northern parts. Can I let you know that a southerner is noticed in the north, and a Yankee is noticed in the south? If you don't believe it, talk to Sarah Goodman for just a little while. You know what they said? "Your accent's not right. There's something different about you. You're a Galilean." They could identify him. I mean, that's a universal truth. And that, it doesn't just take the Mason-Dixon line to break it up. I mean, you go from one state to another, and even within states you can go from one part to another and notice which side of the state somebody's from, especially Pennsylvania. Good night. They crucify the English language over there. Yuns. I mean, what in the world's a yun? All right, at least down south it's y'all. In the north, we've got it right, you guys. In the one part of the north, you guys, you know, whatever, whichever way it goes there. But yuns, what in the world's a yuns? I married a Pennsylvanian. I've had to learn a whole new vocabulary. Remember when we were first married, and I asked Sonia, I'm looking for my coat. She said, "It's in the cupboard." And I looked in the kitchen. And why, wonder why she shoved that up there with the pots and the pans and the. But in Pennsylvania, and her mom, when her mom came to live with us, she said that once too. "It's in the cupboard." And I thought, no, it's not. It's in the closet. That's a cupboard. That's a closet. We've all got our idiosyncrasies, our distinctions in our language from one place to another. My mother was from Alabama. She lived 50 years in Michigan. And in 50 years, she lost her accent. I mean, she didn't have the Alabama accent anymore, at least when I was born, 10 years into her stay in Michigan. She was losing, and as I remember it, she didn't. But every once in a while, a certain word would pop up, and you'd say, "You're not from around here, are you?" His language betrayed him. So it was his accent. They noticed he wasn't like them. He wasn't from around here. But being a Galilean didn't make him a follower of Jesus. But there was something else about his conversation he knew betrayed him. So look what he did in verse 71. He began to curse and swear. Why did he do that? Why did he resort to his old fisherman's language? That old commercial factory working type of talk. Why did he resort? He wanted to convince them he wasn't a follower of Jesus. You know how he did it? By cursing and swearing. Doesn't that... I don't even have to preach on anything. That just says it all right there. He's got a Galilean accent. Well, we can handle that. Oh, but shoot, did you hear what he said? Did you make note of that? I want to remember that for next time I want to cuss somebody out. That guy just gave us some new vocabulary right there. There's no doubt he's not a follower of Jesus. Not by what he just said. And the Bible said Peter began to curse. A lot of folks say, well, try to get Peter off the hook. And said, well, he gave an oath. You know, or he just, you know, said, by God, I'm not, or something, you know, something off color like that. No, he began to curse and to swear. And by the time he was done, there's nobody in that place that would ever have accused him of being a Christian or being a follower of Jesus Christ. See how far he's gotten? From before one maid, I don't know him. Before a maid and a man, I told you I don't know the man. And now before that group and fitting right in. In fact, excelling all of them by his cursive vocabulary. That's what happens when we get away from God. You know, there are people, I believe, that they're just as saved as I am, that have gotten away from God. And that doesn't mean they lose their salvation, because eternal life is eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't mean you can be saved and lose it and get saved again and lose it and saved again. But there are some people whose vocabulary does not show that they're a Christian. You know why? They've been around the world too long. They've been hanging around the wrong people. They're a fish out of water. And one of these days they're going to heaven and stand before God, and man, it's going to be hard on them when they stand before the Lord, and the Lord examines their vocabulary. You say, will He do that? Sure. Everything, all of our works, everything's going to be tried. The things that we thought, the things that we did, the things that we said, the things that we watched, things that we listened to, everything's going to be tried up there. Peter's going to have a hard time. Well, he got it forgiven, and I'm thankful that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah for that verse in First John. But here's what happened to Peter. The accusation was given. Thou art one of them. Thy speech, it says, agreeth thereto. In verse number 70, but over in Matthew's Gospel, it says, thy speech bewrayeth thee, which we would say betrayeth thee, same thing. But thy speech bewrayeth thee. We can tell by your conversation, you're not like us. All right? I'll fit in. Don't try to fit in. The answer, he began to curse and swear, I know not this man. Then the acknowledgement, verse number 72. And the second time, and again, I'm thankful our King James Bible tells us when the cock crew the first time. So we're not getting surprised and say, what do you mean the second time? Where was the first one? And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said. Now folks, here's something I think is very important. Peter gets convicted right here. He's not convicted by the crowing of the cock. He's not convicted by the outward noise. He's convicted by something from within. And he called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him. You know what's going to empower you to not get caught in these temptations and trials? The word that Jesus said unto you. You need to get as much of the word of God in you as you can possibly get. You need to get it every day. You need to get as much as you can every day. You need to increase your spiritual calorie count. Pastor Lewis told us this past Sunday. He gave an illustration of that guy trying to cross the Antarctic, 7,500 calories. I thought, I want to do that. Not cross the Antarctic, but 7,500 calories a day. That sounds like fun to me. Be really bloated, but we need 7,500 spiritual calories a day. And get it any way you can. Read your Bible. Listen to stuff on the radio, on CDs, on internet, if you've got the opportunity, if you're in a place where you can do that. Listen to good stuff. Don't listen to the other stuff. Listen to good stuff. The other stuff is not going to take you the right direction. I'm going to step out on a limb and saw it off behind me right now. Now the name just, country western guy just died. Toby Keith. All right, Toby Keith. Everybody's got him in heaven. Everything I've read, oh, he's a conservative, country western guy, conservative, loves his country, all that. That's great, he's in heaven. I've heard some of the songs he sings. And if that's Christianity, it's not biblical Christianity. Now, I'm not the guy's judge, and I don't want to determine any of those things, but I'm just saying that whole genre, that whole kind of stuff is not going to get you to stand up for Jesus Christ. You need music that's different from that. You need something that's encouraging to your heart and Bible-based. You need what Jesus would say and what Jesus would listen to. You say, preacher, you think you know what Jesus would listen to? I know what he wouldn't listen to. And it's stuff about giving beer to your horses. And again, I didn't know that until I saw the obituary and heard there was a song about that. I didn't even know anything about that. All right? That's not going to build your faith. And I don't mean to pick on that one guy, but all that, any of that stuff, the world's music is not going to build you up, encourage you. You know what you need to get? His Word. His Word. That'll get you through temptation. That'll get you through difficult times. And Peter called to mind the Word. How many times have you been in a place of temptation and God reminded you of something? Maybe it was a Bible verse. Maybe it was something the preacher said recently. But it's something from a spiritual perspective that prevented you from yielding to a certain temptation. You know what we need? As much of that as we can get. So that we can avoid those temptations. Avoid denying our Savior. Avoid denying the Lord. And he called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then lastly, the agony. And when he thought thereon, let's give Peter credit. What's he thinking about now? What Jesus had said to him. When he thought thereon, he wept. I like the way Matthew and Luke say it, not to contradict Mark, but to add to it. He went out and wept bitterly. All right? It was not just tears of, I'm sorry, I got caught doing something I shouldn't have done. It was tears of disappointment. Tears of repentance. John tells us that when Jesus was being led away and Peter had denied him the third time and the cock crew the second time, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And the minute they caught eyeball to eyeball, Jesus went out and wept bitterly. I don't know how the judgment seat of Christ works. I don't know if when we get up there, I know we get up there and we stand individually one at a time before the Lord to have our works examined. Sometimes I'm not sure a word needs to be spoken. I'm not sure the Lord's going to say, hey, remember when you did this, and remember this, remember that. I think one look into His eyes and one look into His face, we're going to recall everything, every failure, every victory, and it's not going to take a long time. It's just going to be a glance like Peter's. And folks, some of us are going to weep bitterly. Don't weep bitterly. Let the Word of God have its way, have its course inside of you. Thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I hate to end the story on a sad note. So let me tell you this, and you already know it. It wasn't too long after this. Not too many days. All right, a couple months. But it wasn't too long after, not even a couple months. Well, it was days later that the Lord Jesus Christ sat down at a fire. And out of all the disciples, the 11 that were left, Judas Iscariot was gone. Out of the 11 that were left, he sat down with one of them and had a one-on-one conversation. It says, the disciples and Peter. And I always think that's interesting. In John, the disciples and Peter. Like Peter wasn't included in the disciples right at that point. Why? Well, I think we know why. And so the Lord sat down with him and restored him to his discipleship. Restored him to his fellowship. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ and walk around cussing and swearing. You can be saved, I'll give you that, but you can't be a disciple, you can't be a follower. He can't be your Lord and Master if you're like that. So he sat down and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said a second time, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord. You know the Peter, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved that he said the third time. Why? He knew exactly what was going on. He denied him three times. Now the Lord was asking him to confess him three times. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord told him, go out and feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. A couple days later, the day of Pentecost, Peter's in his glory. Peter's being used of God. The story is sad, but it's not the end of the story. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You might have got knocked down. You might have fallen into Peter's trap one time. The game's not over. I started to use the word game. That's just, it's not a game, but it's not over yet. Until the trumpet sounds, not till the lady sings, but till the trumpet sounds, all right, it isn't over yet. And when the trumpet sounds, we get up there. Then, until then, keep on keeping on. Live for God, get around God's people, stay around them, get in the Word of God, get as much as you can get, because you're going to need it. Especially if things go the way the Bible predicts it, with those last days coming. Lessons from the life of Peter, who denied the Lord. Let's stand together this evening with our heads.